Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, I'm doing good today.
Cool. It's great you are here. And John Martellaro, I'm glad you're here. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Cool. Well, let's hop right in and let's take a look at the Mac App Store. Specifically, developers don't seem really happy with the state of the Mac App Store right now. And Andrew, you looked into this a little bit, so fill me in, please.
Yeah, so developers really haven't, I don't think, ever been happy with the Mac App Store. But I think this new thing is because of the changes in Mojave. So there's this Mac developer called MacPaw. Their popular software is Clean My Mac, but they do a whole bunch of other stuff. They surveyed a whole bunch of Mac developers to get their thoughts on, you know, what they think about the new changes. And surprise, surprise, they don't really like it. Like nothing, not too much has changed with their responses, I think. Some of the things they don't like about it are developers can't offer trials or priced upgrades. And there's not really a whole lot of analytical tools that developers can use. They also found that really long app reviews and some of the sandboxing that the Mac App Store does, some developers don't like that either.
You know, I totally get the not liking the sandboxing part, but I also get for that, this is Apple's thing, and that's how they do the App Store. So that part, I feel like developers just either have to accept it or decide, yeah, I'm not going to put my app on the Mac App Store. And in some cases, they can't because of what the functionality is. The part with the no upgrades and no trials, which I know in some there are really kludgy sort of workarounds for that. I totally get why developers are not happy with that. It's the idea of trials and upgrade pricing. These have been around a lot longer than the Mac App Store or the App Store or even the iTunes Store, which I know that's a totally different thing. But I mean, this is something that we've had for a very long time. And trial software is something that people have come to rely on and developers have come to rely on so that potential customers can figure out if it's the right app before they commit.
And I think with iOS 11, Apple did give iOS developers the ability to offer trials. And I'm surprised that they haven't done that with the Mac App Store so far.
I am surprised too. It seems like a weird thing to bring to the iOS store, but not to the Mac App Store.
Yeah,
I'm not getting that. John, I'm going to put you on the spot. Because you tend to have a better clarity into Apple's reasoning than some of the rest of us. So I would really love your take on this.
Well, I really have no idea, along with you guys, about why Apple's not doing the trials. I don't think it's technical. But I would like to interject an additional perspective. My wife's a college professor, and one of the things she's noticed is that she spends a lot of time with the traditional Unix open source software for her students. She's heavily involved with Eclipse, with NetBeans, and MySQL. And these open source projects are typically much further behind in their updating process than consumer apps. And so it's a real pain to go to a new version of Mac OS like Mojave and discover that say, for example, you know, MySQL has some problems and it may not be worked out for a long, long time. I'm not saying that's true, but it's characteristic of these kinds of open source apps that are used in the scientific community. And what's happened in my mind, I've noticed, is that I'm sort of coming around to the idea that because Apple has this consumer operating system, macOS, and it's so heavily protected and so locked down and so sandboxed that the traditional Linux and scientific apps that we've come to know and love over the past years have a hard time dealing with that environment. If you're a consumer-oriented app developer and you're generating an income, you know, you just complain and complain and go with the flow and update your app. But some of these other scientific apps, they say, well, you know, Linux is so easy to develop for and macOS makes it so hard, we're just not going to bother. That's sort of like the thing I'm kind of seeing from my wife's experiences.
Well, some developers are turning their back on the Mac App Store, and I'm assuming for reasons like that, because it's just getting too difficult from their perspective to write apps that can be on the Mac App Store. Does that fit with the data that you were seeing in the report, Andrew?
Yeah, that seems to fit.
So, I'm seeing a big problem here, because if Apple wants users to look to the Mac App Store as their go-to repository for all the apps that they need, and developers are saying, you know, I don't have the options there that I need to effectively sell and manage my apps and to see who's using them, so I'm just not going to put my apps there. That means that there's a segment of Mac users that are probably never going to be able to find the apps they actually need because they just won't be there.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like you were asking me before about how I feel about Apple's opinion about this. I kind of feel like Apple has to put security first.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like Apple's thinking that with the Marzipan project and a million iOS apps out there, there will be plenty of opportunity for people who are experienced in highly sandboxed, highly protected environments of iOS to bring their apps over to macOS. And so
sure.
I don't think Apple's feeling a lot of heartburn about a few disgruntled macOS developers who don't like the issues that they face in the Mac App Store.
I'm sure you're absolutely right. And mm-hmm. Apple does what Apple does, and that's the bottom line right there.
Yeah.
And I totally get the sandboxing part because Apple's all about the security. And they want to make sure that there's an integrity that they maintain for vetting apps and making sure that we aren't installing malware and spyware through the Mac App Store. The other part of it, though, trials and upgrade pricing, those are two things that I really don't see as a major issue with security. And it sure would be nice if developers could have these two tools that have proven to be very effective for them for sales over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I get why a lot of developers aren't happy. And I hope Apple finds a solution to this that doesn't turn the Mac App Store into a wasteland, at least as far as quality apps go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about Apple Watch today as well. And the reason I want to do this is because we're 3 weeks into Apple Watch Series 4 release. I've had mine for that whole time, and I upgraded from a Series 3. And John, you have an Apple Watch Series 4. You upgraded from the very original Series 0.
That's right.
And so we've had these long enough that I thought we should come back to Apple Watch and talk about what's working well for us, what isn't, and figure out if we're both happy having an Apple Watch and see what that does for Andrew if he decides it's time for him to get another one or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, what's your experience like right now?
Well, my first unhappy experience was I got my phone long before I got my Apple Watch Series 4, my XS Max. And so the process there was to unpair the Series 0 from the iPhone X and then repair it to the iPhone XS Max. And I got an error on that process. And it didn't tell me why and didn't tell me anything helpful at all except that the unpairing failed. And so when I tried to repair from what appeared to be a at least a annotated update in the update list, the archive list, you know, I selected the pair, the unpair file, backup file, and it had a problem and went really slow and errored off and finally failed.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to reset my Apple Watch Series 0 with the iPhone XS as a new watch and recover my faces and set up my complications and all that stuff. So that was annoying. However, when I unpaired my watch from the XS and repaired the new Series 4, everything was a breeze. It went fast. Boy, in the old days, the Series 0 was so slow. You know, the little marker, the clockwise marker as it progressed through the setup was so slow. It seemed like it took an hour. I don't know. I never clocked it, but it just was a long, long time.
It took a long time.
My Apple Watch Series 4 set up really fast. It took maybe, I'm thinking maybe 10, 15 minutes at most. And Apple says the processor in the Series 4 is twice as fast. But my experience in the setup process is it went much faster than twice as fast. It probably went three or four times faster. So that was a great experience.
I noticed going from Series 3 to Series 4 that the unpairing and repairing process was faster. I'm sure it wasn't as pronounced as it was for you coming from, excuse me, a Series 0. I've noticed that the startup time for the watch, for the occasions where I've decided for various reasons I need to turn it off and restart it, it goes a lot faster than Series 3 did. And compared to Series 0, I remember when I had mine, if I ever had to restart the watch, I actually scheduled the time I was going to do it because it took so long to turn off and back on. It was crazy slow.
The other thing I like about the new watch, and I know my Series 0 was 3.5 years old, but about once a week, I'd run out of battery, especially if I took a walk. But typically, I end the day with about 30% battery left. I know I have a new battery, but I think this Apple Watch Series 4 is still going to turn out to be much more efficient. For example, I've had it on now for several hours, and my battery still says 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I lose, when I first started tracking this the other day, I was noticing that I was losing about 1% per hour. So that means when I'm done to put it on the charger at the end of the day, I've got 75-80% battery life left. I think I could go several days on this watch. And that allows for sleep tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really pleased with the battery performance and the speed.
I did notice a battery life improvement from Series 3 to Series 4. And the battery health that I had on my Series 3 was still really good. So it's not like I was comparing a worn-out battery to a fresh battery in that sense. And so, yes, I've noticed a longer battery life. I don't know if I can go as long as you without charging, but I definitely have more charge at the end of the day left on my watch than I used to.
The other thing I like is the bigger display with this infographic. The infograph watch face, it's glorious. On the large display, it's the one that Apple uses in all their commercials, on their product shots. And it looks busy at first. I know you don't like it because it's busy, but I have gotten used to it. It's so colorful and it's so rich in content.
I really like the bigger display. And yeah, I'm still not loving the infograph watch face. Part of it is because it feels, I don't want to say cartoonish, but it's like there's so much color splashed all around and there's so much going on. It's just too busy. And
you know what it reminds me of?
Hmm.
Reminds me of the, and I forget the technical term for that type of display, but it reminds me of the Star Trek Next Generation bridge displays.
Oh yeah, acutograms.
I thought there was another name for that kind of display.
Well, in the show, they were called L-cars.
L-cars, that's it. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of. I don't know why.
I could see a pretty cool L-cars interface on the Apple Watch. I don't think Infograph is it. All right, so here's one thing that I haven't been happy with. My Apple Watch randomly crashes, not very often.
But Series 4?
Series 4.
Wow. Since
I've had it, I've had about, I'd say once a week, my watch just spontaneously reboots. And then the other thing I'm not liking is the auto sensing for workouts. And this is something I've first experienced with hikes, where I'd be walking along, my heart rate is elevated, I'm clearly moving, and I'd get a tap on my wrist. I look, and my watch is saying, "It looks like you're done with your workout." And it just happens all the time when I'm hiking.
I'll look for that. The weather's been cold and snowy, and I haven't been walking that so much, but I'll try that.
So
see what happens.
It happens consistently for me with the hiking.
I think the hardware reboot is maybe a hardware problem.
It could be a hardware
problem.
Shouldn't
do that. Yeah.
So, but
did you buy AppleCare Plus?
Of course I did.
Me too.
It's a whole new generation of watch, so I figured. That's right. I better have AppleCare on this one.
And I'm probably going to keep it like for a while, like I did the first one.
Yeah, I'll probably have this one longer because Apple would have to come up with significant changes for Series 5 for me to want to turn around and replace my watch yet again. Although my family would love it if I do because I end up taking my old watches and handing them down to other family members. So, besides my complaints, overall, I am really happy with the new Apple Watch. I'm glad I did the upgrade. And when the ECG features get turned on, I'm going to be even happier. I'm really looking forward to that. So, with all of that in your lap, Andrew, if you were in a buying mood, would you be any more inclined to get an Apple Watch Series 4 now or not?
Oh, yeah, I think I definitely would. And I probably will eventually.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that buy products and then later on have buyer's remorse and then sell them. So wait a few more weeks and start watching for people selling their Apple Watch Series 4. You might be able to get a good deal.
Yeah.
One thing we should probably on eBay.
Yes.
One thing we should probably tell the listeners is that this increase in watch face size from 38 and 42 to 40 and 44
mm-hmm.
sounds dramatic. It's not.
It is any, dramatic.
Any man, even a small size adult male would be not overwhelmed by the 44 millimeter.
So the physical watch size that is almost exactly the same as Series 3.
Yeah.
The face itself being bigger, that I do find to be dramatic. It's amazing how when I compared this to my Series 3, the old watch feels like the whole face is really compressed and scrunched in just to fit, where now it feels like everything just has room to breathe and mm-hmm. it's really, really nice.
And the fact has a go ahead.
The fact that we get that without having to increase the size of the watch itself, I think is awesome.
My wife has a Series 2 38mm aluminum, and it seems awfully small in my hands. It seems almost miniature. But it's just right for her.
Yeah, well, it's just right for me. That 38mm, now the 40mm, that's just the right size for me. And I'm very pleased with the bigger face on the smaller size watch.
Yeah, so I'd say if you're on the bubble, go into the Apple store near you and try them on, and you'll be convinced that Apple's got the right sizing for these watches.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. And John, I'm so glad you were here too. Thank you very much.
It was nice. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this was nice. And for those of you that are on the fence for Apple Watch Series 4, you'll like
it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice upgrade. And if you have a Series 2 or earlier, it's a really nice upgrade. Listeners, I am so glad you were here. Thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.